We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code KATE.
The Clintons are getting sick and tired of being accused of all the things they've done. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Walter Cronkite.
First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. Today, we must develop federal structures on a global level. To deal with world problems, we need a system of enforceable world law, a democratic federal world government. Most important, we should sign and ratify the Treaty for a Permanent International Criminal Court. Pat Robertson has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Show. So glad you're listening in. So eye-opening. He was the most trusted person, I would say, in America. Mr. News, Walter Cronkite. Very interesting. Very enlightening clip, don't you think? Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hey, I'm great.
Excellent. I'm glad to have you. Boy, are we going to be talking about some whistleblowers, Benghazi whistleblower. I wasn't kidding with that liner coming in. The Clintons are getting sick and tired of getting accused of all the things they've done. It's true. We have so much to talk about. We're also going to talk about Hunter Biden's emails. Susan always brings so much of this to the show. Grateful for her efforts. And a big thank you to Melissa, too, for discussing Republican Party versus Libertarian versus shaking it up, because we are in a world of hurt. And the silence of the conservatives is deafening. The silence is deafening because we're just not understanding that they're not standing for anything this year. They should be the ones that lead out the charge of, oh my gosh, what are we doing to our people? 9.5 months later, you're not hearing a peep. So they're all aboard, as Ozzy Osbourne would say on the crazy train. So you know what? We've got a lot of work to do in switching up how we think about things and our own cognitive dissonance. And Walter Cronkite's going to be a big cognitive dissonance piece for people. Wow. Woo. I love world government. America needs to give up its sovereignty. The only thing that helps us have the Constitution of America. And so, wow, that was an enlightening clip.
Oh,
I think
goodness.
It first played on Alex Jones, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I you get floored by hearing words come out of people's mouths and you're just like, wow, that's.
Well, and the mocking laughter in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, they're waiting for Jesus. Ha ha.
Yeah. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well,
it's
here information.
We go. Yes. Okay. Let's first talk about Benghazi. A whistleblower came forward.
There is a whistleblower, mm-hmm. and this is actually really astonishing. So his name is Nick Noe, N-O-E, and he had worked in the logistics, not logistics. He had worked in the reports department. He was in charge of combat reports and operations. He created situational briefings. So he got all the information about what was happening in the area, and this included Benghazi. He would create reports and send those reports up to about 20 generals. So everything went through him and then up.
So he was the segue component. And, he was,
And he could see an overview that most people could not. He said the military is great, but the military is compartmentalized. And so people don't always know what the other parts are doing.
Right.
But he could see the whole picture. And what he said on that day in Benghazi shocked him so much because as he watched it, he said, we had drones above the situation in Benghazi when it was under attack. We had unarmed drones. And as they were trying to figure out what to do, his shift was over. The night shift guy came on and he thought, well, this is going to be amazing. You know, what's going to happen next? And he went home and he came back and nothing had happened. They had said, usually what happens in an emergency situation, he said, is you surge assets. You say, what do we have available? How can we surge them? There was a 24-hour rescue team available, ready to go. There was a NATO exercise happening nearby, and they said to them, can we lend a hand to the U.S. military? And we said, no, thank you.
Ooh.
Aviano Air Base.
Right.
There were other operations, and people were told to stand down. They were not going to go. There was a Marine group over in Spain that could have gone in and in a couple hours cleaned up the situation, and they were not deployed. So he all of a sudden started to realize, you know what? I just saw what happened. And they were also told, that CENTCOM was not the one directing this, that it was the State Department who was in charge of what was happening now. And he was shocked because he said, first of all, the State Department has no assets.
Right.
They have no assets. And secondly, the Department of Defense and CENTCOM, they don't take instructions from the State Department, which was Hillary.
Right.
So he said it all was so bizarre and so horrible that he decided to get out of the military. He thought, what I know is really dangerous, and so I better get out.
Right.
So he went immediately to a member of the Benghazi committee, a Republican member, and he has not named who that is. But he said to him, you know, I have this information. I know what I saw. And he said, you know what? It's over. We're not the investigation's over. And would not take his statement. So then I can't remember if he said they suggested he go to the FBI, but he went to the FBI. They also were not interested in his story about what he saw happen. And he said, quote, everything was a lot more corrupt than I had realized.
Wow. A wake-up moment for sure. This is, his last name is here in some of his own words. Here you go. Here we go.
Is that through that time where I've done these interviews and stuff, I've been connected with more witnesses, I came in contact with Alan Perot. Alan has a treasure trove of audio recordings, documents, going back years. I mean, we're talking a long time. He was in the Middle East for over 20 years. He I don't want to say too much about it, but he's got recordings of a lot of people. So something that everybody wants to have is the evidence. Ooh, I want to hear and see the evidence. Guess what? We have it. We have irrefutable evidence. We have audio recordings of people, government officials, talking about it to Alan. And in there, you're going to find out some pretty shocking things. And that's just the start of it. That's just a couple of audio recordings and a document. You're going to find out that three former CIA directors were all implicated by allowing this to continue to keep bin Laden alive in Iran. They moved him from Iran over to Pakistan for the trophy kill instead of just giving him to us. They were, Iran was like, all right, here, take him. They were going to give him to us. And instead, Hillary and Biden and them cooked up this plan to have him transferred to Pakistan for a trophy kill. They wanted to do a trophy kill.
Right before his re-election.
Yeah, they wanted to do it right before his re-election. And then, so, yeah, you know, fast forward a little bit, he is re-elected. Mm. One thing that people don't know, though, is that the payments to Iran were related to that. I've heard two things. I've heard that bin Laden, that wasn't him, it was his body double. I mean, I guess we'll never know if they buried it at sea, that story, right? But either way, even if they did kill him or didn't kill him, the payments occurred because of that transaction. And, of course, you know, the pallets of cash are kickbacks, right?
Wow. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all because of everything I've learned about that whole thing, that it could have been his body double because that team was killed. The father of one of those SEAL members was on my show.
Charles Wood?
No, Don. Oh. His last name just escapes me.
Is it Strange?
Don no, Strip. And wrote a book about it and stuff. But anyway, I'm telling you, there's so much more to that story. And what did they know? You had all these service members killed in this accident that probably shouldn't have happened the way that it happened. Anyway, there's just so much to this story.
There is a lot to it. And one of the fascinating points that he talks about is this man, Alan Perrot, who was a falconer. And so that's why he spent 20 years in the Middle East. He was the expert teacher of falconry to Middle Eastern politicians and aristocrats. So he would go into their inner sanctums and into their camps. Mm-hmm. And he said in these camps were Al-Qaeda terrorists. Because these falconry camps did not require passports and there was no border control. And so they essentially used it as an operational war room to create strategies. And he was kind of privy to a lot of this stuff, even though he was American. Mm-hmm. And then he said that eventually when they learned that Osama bin Laden was in Iran, that they figured out at least six different ways to turn him over because they wanted the reward. So he was part of that. But when his plans went to the CIA and up the chain, a big no. And like a month later, Osama bin Laden, according to this man, was moved to Jalalabad, Pakistan, and then held there. And one of his wives, because remember, not everybody was killed. One of his wives said he felt Osama bin Laden did like he was in a gilded cage. Mm-hmm. But this actually goes back a lot further. Mm-hmm. The Church Commission in the 70s created something called the Senate Intelligence Select Committee, and they created something called the Safari Club. And we've talked about this before. These foreign banks create like an outsourced CIA. And Osama bin Laden was the figurehead part of this group, the Safari Club. And so he was an operational member of what our foreign policy was trying to do. But on the sly.
Right, right. The Bushes were friends. They did business dealings together with his family.
Yes.
Yeah, and I do think it was a body double. That was the reason they dumped him in the sea. See, do you guys remember Saddam Hussein? Man, we made sure, put that face right on the camera. Oh no, not with Osama. That's why I do believe that was a trophy kill to get Obama reelected, to make it look like he was on the case. And he finally found something, right? Finally found Osama. We have the best technology in the world. There's no way.
Could have done DNA.
I think Osama actually, Osama bin Laden actually died quite a while ago. Anyway, we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More on this right when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Coming on. I feel a rock that's about to go wrong. I got a shiver down to the bone. I feel a seeing coming on.
Hi there. Welcome back. I've got Kevin Reeve, Susan Reeve with me. And let me, so much information to go over. In fact, I want to clarify, members of the SEAL Team 6 were killed, but there were different sets of members within that squad. And so I want to correct that. And then, because I did have Don Brown on Extortion 17, who told that story. And about his son being killed on that, 30 members were killed on that as part of SEAL Team 6. And then I just want to say too, Holland is looking at, to one of the listeners that briefed me on this, Holland is looking at euthanasia for up to the age of 12.
Holy
cow. Yeah. You guys, we're in a world of hurt. On the heels of yesterday's show, on euthanasia, not euthanasia, but eugenics. Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as these countries are doing that. And then, also, did you want to comment on what we were just talking about too, Kevin?
There are multiple teams within SEAL Team 6, which is known as DevGru. And the one that was killed on Extortion 17 was not the same one that participated in the Bin Laden raid.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are saying, oh, they sacrificed the Bin Laden
that
team.
That exact team.
Mm-hmm. It was not the same team.
But it was part of the same
But it's part
squad.
Of part mm-hmm. of SEAL Team 6.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad to correct that. And then
and the raid was in Abbottabad, not in Jalalabad.
So I just want to make
I got my Abbottabad.
Susan, I give you credit for even attacking the name in general. So I've got Susan with me, and we were just talking about some of these events coming down the pike. It's just crazy. The whistleblower on Benghazi. So things are will this come to light? Will anything happen? The substantial with this whistleblower saying the pallets of cash that went over were payment.
Yes.
For
as a bribe
as
to
a bribe,
keep quiet
yes.
about what Obama had been involved in.
Yes, because I think that Obama, well, part of the story is that Osama bin Laden, I actually think it was his body double, because he had kidney disease and they think he died right after 9/11. And he was not responsible, I don't think, for 9/11, but that's the narrative. But anyway, because he had done all these dealings with the Bush family, part of the CIA,
Safari Club.
Part of the CIA as well. So anyway, that they kept him in Iran, and it was payment for that.
Right. It was silence.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. To keep quiet on that.
Okay. So this whistleblower says this might be coming out. Is this?
Well, this is only part of it. And he said all of the documents we have, which is a terabyte of information, which is a ton of information. And it's audio, it's video, and it's documents. And it is audio with a lot of key players that are very damning as to what went on. And part of why Benghazi even happened was that Hillary Clinton said to Mark Turin, she said to him, you're not going to be doing the weapons to Qatar anymore. I am. So all of a sudden you have a State Department head who's in charge of selling weapons. And she included these, according to this whistleblower, these larger Stinger missiles. And those went to our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
They got spread around by our enemies. And it was when that Stinger missile hit the Extortion 17 helicopter and the serial number was tracked back to these Stinger missiles, to the Hillary Clinton Stinger missiles,
right,
that all hell broke loose and those people in Benghazi needed to die and not be rescued. All those people figuring stealth out in Benghazi.
So,
and this man, yes,
sad.
So this, you know, kind of the low level member MASH and Radar who handled all the information.
Yeah.
He had his fingers on the pulse of what was happening. That's like Nick No.
Yeah.
He had his finger on the pulse of what was going on. And so that makes him an extremely credible witness. And now he said all of that information is with a congressman who they trust. So it's the information from Alan Perot, the Falconer, and his own, Nick Noh's own information. And he said stuff, they're going to start releasing stuff in the next few weeks, like it's coming out before the election.
Wow. Good. Good.
So there's another one. We have to keep in our prayers that the Hillary crime cabal will not
stay. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? We have to pray that he stays alive. I mean, I look at where we're at in our society. That screams volumes for where we're at in society. We almost expect something to happen to him because he knows something about the corrupt government, what they did. That's just, it's so horrific to me when you step back and really assess that statement. Oh my gosh.
There was a story that I came across that talked about a Benghazi witness, somebody on the ground who lives in and around Benghazi still. Sure. And his body was found on the surf, tied up with chains, gunshot wounds. And he was also part of the, one of the witnesses as to what happened. And that was not too long ago. So you realize,
so
wow.
Many people have died trying to bring truth to people. It's just amazing to me to listen to.
It's a dangerous cancer that unless you attack it, and there were some people from National Review, I'm trying to remember which ones, which is a conservative publication, saying maybe we just need to put all this Russiagate and all of this just behind us and just move on.
Oh, I bet they'd love to.
People aren't really interested. They've pretty much made up their minds about Spygate and about the president. And so let's just
all those pesky things. Let's just,
yes.
All that treason, pesky little treason. Let's just let that go.
Yes. And so that attitude is the enabling attitude that criminals factor into their decision making.
Yeah.
Like, these guys aren't going to go after us.
Yeah.
So that's how you get the Hunter Biden situation.
Right.
And
let's talk about that.
The emails that have come out about that. Well, what have we heard from Joe Biden on the campaign trail endlessly?
Garbly gook? I don't know. Can't finish a sentence?
When he is asked about Hunter Biden and Burisma, he says, I've never spoken about my business dealings with my son.
Right.
I don't speak about his business dealings. Well, a email has been released addressed to Hunter Biden, and it is from the Burisma, I believe it's the president, it's a high-ranking member of Burisma, an energy company.
Okay.
And April 17th, 2015, Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It really is an honor and pleasure. As we spoke yesterday evening, would be great to meet today for a quick coffee. What do you think? I could come to your office somewhere around noon or so before or on my way to the airport. Best, V. And so
that's pretty damning.
All of a sudden, the narrative that Joe Biden, in fact, in one clip, he says, I have never, ever, 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 ever spoken to my son about his business. And so
I'm just shaking my head because it's just lie after lie after lie. The guy's been lying for decades and nobody will do anything about it.
So now they're questioning, on the left, they're questioning the veracity of these emails.
Right.
Since Rudy Giuliani is bringing some of this forward, they're saying, wait a minute. Now, this is reminiscent of the Podesta emails, right, that got released before the election. And people were saying, wait a minute, is this, maybe these are fake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't. So there is that email, and there was a lengthy memo that's been uncovered by, written by Hunter Biden to his business partner, Devin Archer, who was already on the Burisma board. And Biden keeps referring to my guy this, my guy that, meaning Joe Biden.
Ah.
And so he was under Obama. Remember that Joe Biden was the point person for U.S. policy towards Ukraine. And he had held a press conference there. So right before he came, Hunter Biden was coordinating a bunch of the stuff about what's going to happen at the press conference and what is best for the company. He said, in other words, it could be a really good thing or could end up creating too great an expectation. We need to temper expectations regarding the visit. But he was helping coordinate Joe Biden's interactions and decisions with what was best for Burisma. And now we have the emails.
So we have all this, but we can go after Flynn. Then we can go after all these other people endlessly, but we don't go after this. It's just the hypocrisy is just, it's so far beyond the pale. It's jumped the shark so much that it's hard to fathom anymore. I think we're so almost like, what's the syndrome? The shock syndrome. We're just
post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, we just don't even know. We just don't Stockholm. We just don't even know what to do anymore. Because it's just, it's in front of us.
Yes.
It's like in front of our face and we can't.
It is a flagrant abuse of power. It's so flagrant. And somebody was saying, you know, if this is not held to account, if Hunter Biden is not held to account, and more supposedly is coming out about him, hat tip to Dan Bongino, who said there's audio, there's video of really untoward things, really unsavory things coming out about Hunter Biden. And this, who are these people?
Maybe.
Well,
getting money from Russia, and they think or is part
of from the wife of the ex-mayor of Moscow.
Yeah, maybe possibly part of that.
$3.5 million.
Yeah,
and so
it's a lot of money. You don't just hand somebody that kind of money.
One interesting development is this: Devin Archer, who is his partner, in 2018 was convicted in an unrelated thing about defrauding the Ogallala Sioux Indian tribe for $60 million worth of tribal bonds. Now, this is Hunter Biden's partner, but it was overturned. A presiding judge said an unwavering concern that Archer is innocent. So this was obviously a judge that felt affinity for him. But then it was reinstated this month by a Manhattan federal appeals court. And now he faces a maximum of 25 years in prison. This is Devin Archer at his scheduled sentencing in January. So you start to think, wow, there is somebody being held accountable for something, but that's almost securities fraud. This is directly related to Vice President Biden, as was that whole mess with Bin Laden. John Brennan, I forgot to mention, was kind of the point man on that whole Bin Laden thing, along with Biden. And then Hillary came in at the Benghazi part. And so when you look at Joe Biden, you have to see his fingers in all of these dastardly. Nick Ngo says it's clearly treasonous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're taking down patriots for, I think they said this, and mail fraud or something, you know. And this is going on. The house is burning, and they're over on the other side of the street arresting somebody for something. I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of this kind of crap going on. Like, it's so hideous, treasonous, criminal,
insidious,
murderous. Leaving your guys to die, and this isn't even coming up in the press.
No,
this is not even talked about. Amazing. Yeah,
I don't. No, and it's fairly so shocking. And people think, well, if it's not in Newsweek or on the New York Times, then it must not really be a priority to know about.
Why isn't my propaganda rag saying?
Why haven't I heard about this, is what people say.
From the deliverer of lies. Why are they continuing to lie? I don't know. I'm in shock, I tell you. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Working on a night move. Trying to make some front page driving news.
Working on a night move. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. Get the supplement, 31 fruits and vegetables. You can't go wrong. It really is good. And by the way, putting the code KATE, you'll get 35% off and free shipping. What are you waiting for? Our food supply sucks. It's terrible, you guys. We really need these fruits and vegetables more so than I can tell you. Your immune system is not located on your face in a paper cloth mask. It is inside your body. And I know you know this. I wish everybody else did. And, well, centuries of medical science, but you know. And here we are not strengthening our immune system when we have the opportunity to do it. Do it. Strengthen your immune system right now, please. 31 fruits and vegetables. Do you know how many fruits and vegetables that is? Have you ever eaten 31 fruits and vegetables? Unless you sat around the TV eating salsa for like 3 hours. I don't think you did. So make sure that you're eating
fruit, all these fruits and vegetables, dial down to 3 caplets of fruits, 3 caplets of veggies. You're going to feel better. You're going to notice it. You're going to feel amazing. Get the supplement. It is worth it. There are few things are really worth it in this world. I have a few things that I can't go without. This is one of them. Balanceofnature.com, put in the code Kate. I love the meme I saw earlier where it said, Amy Coney Barrett is used to answering stupid questions. She has 7 children. I love that. And I, as a mother of 7 kids herself, Susan, by the way, I applaud you.
Yes.
I'm envious of you. I applaud you.
No, it's very inspirational to see her and just see how gracious she is, how well-mannered the children are.
Even when asked if she raped somebody by Hawaii. I mean,
in front of her children.
Yeah, you got to give them props for coming up with that question. No one would even care to ask.
If she's sexually assaulted anyone.
Yeah, with a straight face.
It was insane.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Hawaii.
It was so embarrassing for the Democrats to have done that.
You've been in the sun a little too long there in Hawaii. I don't know what else to tell you, but what a crock. Anyway, so there's that. I also wanted to give you the tale of 2 headlines right now on the heels of not only the song Night Moves, but also because you were just talking about this. Fox News did an alert, right, while we were on break. Let me give you the upshot. The headline for Fox News is Fox News obtains email sent to Hunter Biden requesting his help as Ukrainian gas company was being probed. It goes into the article and then shoves it off with a 4-paragraph response. I'm sorry. Biden's campaign responded on Wednesday by denying any wrongdoing and claiming that the former vice president's schedule showed no meeting taking place. So basically shut up. The meeting didn't take place. The email says it does. It did. But Fox News is basically putting this matter to bed. Our conservative news network that we think is conservative and not bought and sold. Of course, they're bought and sold. So they regurgitate this for 4 paragraphs. Okay. Then you go over to CNN. Does CNN have anything remotely even suggesting that this happened? Nope. In fact, headline news on CNN, college football coach Nick Saban has the common cold virus called COVID. He tested positive. Doesn't even have symptoms, but tested positive. That's the state of our news. That's the state of our news.
It's just dumbed down.
I just had to tell you the tale of 2 headlines right now, 2 major publications that we think are left and right. One does it, but skews the rest of it. The other one doesn't even mention it. So I just had to.
No. Yeah. People have to dig. Absolutely. Just the news. Yeah.
You
the conservative treehouse.
Watch CNN.
Yeah. No, you have to go to the sources that are willing to dig and then provide real evidence.
And also, I just want to mention the other headline story on CNN. For 3 years, feds chased a suspected foreign link to Trump's $10 million donation in 2016 with extraordinary secrecy. Mystery probe. Let me just tell you what you can probe. CNN. I'm sorry, but this, we need to know about this, and they're trying to make something of this now, and they're trying to make something of his tax returns, because that's all they have left after impeachment, Russia, and everything else. So we're supposed to wonder about this, but we can't know whether Biden wants to pack the court. This is so amazing to me in this day and time that the nonsense that we are allowed to take in and cope with is just amazing. Okay, let's keep going. I wanted to turn the time over to you.
No, we're good. I occasionally go over to a publication offguardian.com, and that's OFF-guardian.com. And there's an article, Klaus Schwab and His Great Fascist Reset. So when Donald Trump had said, you know, who's trying to control the world? It's people you've never heard of. Mm-hmm. Average person.
He was right.
Klaus Schwab is the head started the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a number of books and policy manuals. But this article, which is a little bit on the long side, everyone should read, because this is the type of person who is pulling the puppet strings on the politicians. And he was born in Ravensburg in Germany in 1938. So he was raised through that Hitler and then post-Hitler time. And it seems like he is trying to recreate that fascist vision. He believes in the transhumanism. He believes that we are now in a great position in order to accelerate the Great Reset. And he is close friends with, are you surprised, Bill Gates?
No, they're like a little incestual group of crime-ridden little treasonous
little frat bros.
Individuals.
And he's hailed by Big Pharma, mainstay Henry McKinnell, chairman and CEO of Pfizer. Do you know, it's interesting, I talked to a doctor who does research, and he said when he started medical school decades ago, he was given a doctor's bag for free and a stethoscope, and on the doctor's bag was Pfizer. That was stamped on the new doctor bag that he got from the medical school.
This does not shock me.
So
okay.
Anyway, but here's something that he wrote, part of their policy manuals. It says, in one form or another, social and physical distancing measures are likely to persist after pandemic itself subsides, justifying the decision in many companies from different industries to accelerate automation. After a while, the enduring concerns about technological unemployment, remember that's been an issue, if we automate, we'll get unemployment, will recede as societies emphasize the need to restructure the workplace in a way that minimizes close human contact. Jeez. This is what this man is writing. And his policies. They also say in this article how much they use the term force, that we're going to have to force people. It says COVID has forced all the banks to accelerate a digital transformation that is now here to stay. They also say the micro reset will force every company and every industry to experiment new ways of doing business, working and operating. So the government has now figured out, governments, world governments, corporations, how to force change, and they're using COVID as the excuse. But they have no problem saying the word force. It says many of the tech behaviors that we are forced to adopt during confinement will, through familiarity, become more natural. As social and physical distancing persists, relying more on digital platforms to communicate or work or seek advice or order something will, little by little, gain ground on formerly ingrained habits. They also talk a lot about the anti-vaxxers and how they have to approach them. And so they say in the article, he sits like a spider on top of the world, trying to control and create this new fascist vision, which is the corporate control of governments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we are naive to think that anything else will persist unless we hold fast to the Constitution and demand that our political leaders protect us from the abuses. Mm-hmm. And that's when you were talking about the Republicans are strangely silent.
Yeah, it's deafening. Their silence is, I mean, overwhelming. It should be a huge red flag to everybody listening. What they're not saying, they're just completely quiet.
Yeah.
I expect the Democrats to be. They love this. They love government tyranny. But my gosh, where are the people that are supposed to be standing up? They're not.
It's just incredible. They say in this, Klaus Schwab, for a pandemic, a majority of citizens will tend to agree with the necessity to impose coercive measures. They will resist constraining policies in the case of environmental risks where the evidence can be disputed. These coercive measures, which we all expect to go along with, will of course involve unimaginable levels of fascistic surveillance of our lives, particularly in our role as wage slaves. It said the corporate move will be towards greater surveillance, for better or for worse. This is what he's writing, for better or for worse. Companies will be watching and sometimes recording what their workforce does. The trend could take many forms, from measuring body temperatures with thermal cameras to monitoring via an app how employees comply with social distancing. And we know that includes in their off time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the fact that the head of the World Economic Forum, who is so well connected in many monetary ways with governments and countries,
says this isn't going away. It'll get worse. Yes. And stop wearing the masks and making a fashion statement and ordering them from the Gap, and stop your children from doing that too. It's just sickening to me that people are going along with this narrative. And this is what encourages little Klaus from Nazi Germany. Where is he from?
Yeah, Ravensburg, Germany during the Nazi era.
Why does it not surprise me? So we have this guy, World Economic Forum, you know, spouting off because why? Everybody's going along with it. Hook, line, and sinker. They've got design masks on. What is wrong with us? What happened to us?
Well, I can't even imagine how people don't equate it in some respect to wearing the star when they were forced to wear the Star of David by a fascistic government.
Yeah.
How our government, like our current governor, who just has said masks.
Yeah.
You will be masked.
9.5 months in, but mask up.
You will be masked.
Yeah. Goes to show you that if it ever went to court, they have no evidence of anything. They can't even, they don't have evidence for a pandemic. So you would actually win in court. And, you know, it's striking. It's striking when I see not only somebody being made to do something, but going all in. That's when I go, that's when my head explodes. That's when I wonder, who are you? When I see government officials going all in, when I see them going 10 yards farther than they have to, past the goal line, I'm talking all in. And if you're one of those that went all in on this, find the tiniest little microscopic part of you that's an American. Water it. Feed it, help it to grow. I don't even know what to say anymore other than we're losing our country because of this nonsense, this idiotic nonsense and love for, I'll make the best of it. You're not making the best of it. You're all in, honey. You're all in. You're wearing a designer mask. Take it off.
That's right. Oh, and it's part of his global governance. Mm. He said his preferred future will only come about through improved global governance,
right.
Some form of effective global governance. And so the mask is essentially a symbol of global governance.
It is.
And
you're
so
all in. You're good.
And I think for some people, it is a coping mechanism. They feel like to survive emotionally, they have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to set an example of not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are fighting back, I know someone in our area is fighting back through court. There's an event this evening where he will be speaking about his effective measures to take it to court to reverse this mask in this emergency. So whatever we can do to set the example is what you need to do. You need to ask yourself, can I set an example by refusing to do this? So that's where we are. I recommend that article. We never got to the movie, The Plot Against the President, which has been made into a movie that you can get online for $5.99. The book was excellent.
Okay.
And it was the documents they have found that prove there's a plot against the president. But the movie, which I think is more than an hour, hour and a half, goes into great detail. And you will be astonished what has happened at the highest level of our government. So highly recommend it.
Yeah. The name again?
The Plot Against the President.
$5.99. Can afford it.
Yes. Have a family movie viewing.
Anyone can.
Yes.
Yeah. And let's sit around some decent entertainment instead of the crapola fest that the Obamas are serving up at Netflix. Right?
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Educate yourself. Educate your children. This is bigger than Watergate. And that's why they're fighting so hard. There's going to be a lot of dirt, like the Benghazi dirt, coming out.
We've jumped the shark from Watergate, man. We've gone full treason, and this is the state of our union. We're all like, oh really? Oh okay. Next. I mean, honestly, it's pretty baffling. Pretty baffling. You know, it's like, arrest somebody, please. I love that Chris Farley meme. Arrest somebody. Jeez. Oh, gosh. Susan, thank you.
Oh,
Susan Kevin,
so
I really appreciate you guys.
And happy to be here.
My gosh, great work, Susan. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't she great? Melissa and her are just fantastic on Wednesdays. What can I say? I'm blessed. I'm a blessed girl. Go get the podcast. And of course, be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow with Chris Ann Paul and Uncle Milty. We'll